I don't want to get into the hot dog versus sausage thing. Well, I might have to. We'll figure it out.
I might have to.
You guide me, hot dog story. You guide me.
I don't try to define where this hot dog story is going.
It's in the, you know what? It's in the hands of the hot dog muses now.
Well, we have our dry intro tape.
TBTL.
I'm starting to feel like a corn dog at a hot dog party, and it ain't flattering, I'll tell you that.
Well, there's that fine line between, you know, showing emotion and being a hot dog.
What do you think the stripes are in the American flag? They're hot dogs. They're boiled and unboiled hot dogs, white and red and white and red.
Obviously, that's the platonic ideal of a hot dog cannon. Ain't nobody on earth going to argue with that.
How many hot dogs do you have for lunch?
3.
Well, there's your problem. You're starving. Your body's literally eating itself. Let me see if I have any emergency dogs on my desk. I bet I do.
Well, happy 4th of July, other buckets. Welcome to a special TBTL Wednesday edition of the program. This right here is the show that just might be too beautiful to live, like the representative democracy that we currently live in. I said I wasn't going to get political, and here I am getting political right at the beginning of the show. It's episode 2675 in a collector series. My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host. I paused there because I was like, is this technically a representative democracy? Like, what do I remember from Schoolhouse Rock? What is the alleged form of government that I feel like is being trampled? I don't know. You know what? My face, you face, Chris Hayes. Talk to people who know about that stuff. This is the show where we like to talk about hot dogs. And we're going to do that today on this special 4th of July edition of the program. We're going to do that with the help of this young man, the longest running Cobro of the show. He is known for his drawings of hot dogs, their grace and their hot doggedness. He is Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Happy 4th, my friend.
Hello, Luke. And I hate doing this. I hate doing this right at the beginning of the show, but you did make a small mistake in your intro that I'm only correcting because I want to know if you think this is fortuitous or if I'm a fool. I believe you said that it is episode number 2675. It's actually, I think, 2676, which stood out to me because I was thinking 1776. And I thought, wow, we got a show ending in 76 for the 4th of July. But that's not really a thing, right? I mean, that's a stretch.
Patriotic.
Ooh.
So does that mean, so then my counting was off for yesterday's show because
Did
I had yesterday's
74?
Show down as 2674. But I 100%, well, I mean, oh, I see. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. I got my count off by one. So that's actually great. You're right. That means this is an even more auspicious number.
Is it, though? Like, is that a, it's like, I don't usually get into would this be called numerology, what I'm starting to dip my toe
into? Yeah, dude, let me tell
here?
You what. If I had known the correct show number, if I would have known it was 2676, I would have in my mind been like, not unlike 1776.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Validation.
No, I don't think
that's
that you're
all
crazy,
I want.
And I appreciate you correcting the record here at the top, getting us off on the right foot. I'm sorry that I seem a little distracted. It's because Rudy just sauntered in here, and the top of her head was wet with what I can only say smells like beer. Oh, I know what it is. It's white wine, and I know how it happened.
Just for, if you don't mind me saying, just for new listeners, Rudy is Luke's wife.
Yes. That's my wife. I don't know why I decided to try to be funny and mess with the audio drop and mispronounce it, but that's just a new thing I'm working on.
That's my wife.
Where I intentionally mispronounce the audio drops. Rudy walked in here, and one thing she likes to do is schnoof around in the dishwasher when we're loading it. The dishwasher comes open, and she is in there. And I had put a glass that had some white wine in it. I dumped it out and I put it in the top of the dishwasher, the top shelf, which is where the glasses go. And some of it must have dribbled down on her. But she just walked in and there was some like wet stuff on her head. And I was like, what is that? I rubbed it and then I smelled it. And it smelled alcohol based and it was confusing me. But now that we got that straightened out, now that we know that this is episode 2676 in a collector series, we are ready to get rolling with things. And what we are going to be rolling with today is the TBTL salute to the American hot dog, a.k.a. Let's Be Frank, a.k.a. how Andrew spent his summer. because you put a lot of work into this bad boy, my friend, and I appreciate you doing it.
Sure, and of course, now I openly kind of whined on the show about not feeling like I was going to be able to give it the kind of editing time that it needs, the mixing time that it needs, and that I was feeling pretty bummed about it as a final, or what I assumed would be the final product. But I will say, as we sit here on our nation's birthday, about to play the show, I think there's good stuff in here. I'm glad that we pushed through. I apologize for being such a whiny McWine face about it. Maybe that's the name of your dog now that we know that she's a loser.
Did he just get called up on more charges?
Yeah.
Whiny wine face?
So I'm excited about this. So if you're thinking, why do I want to listen to the show today? All I heard was Andrew talk about how it's not going to be any good. I think there are some moments in here. You and I were listening in the car when we were in, I don't know, Missouri. We were in Mississippi a couple of weeks ago. And you and I were listening critically to some parts of it. And there were some real, as you say, laugh out loud moments, Luke. So that made me feel better.
I also feel like you saying that you think that this radio special was kind of not great. That, knowing our listeners, is actually an incentive to listen as well.
That's true.
Because they'll want to hear, first of all, they've heard the other TBTL, so they know what not great sounds like, sir. And also they'll be like, ooh, how not great was it? And then they listen and they are dazzled, they're lolling, and then that's when we get them.
That's when you reel them in and you tell them we're doing another fundraiser next week.
Oh, God. That would be funny if it wasn't true. Hey, guys, you know, about twice a year, usually separated by 1 week, we tell you that we need you to dig deep.
Can I actually say, because I feel like I mentioned this in the newsletter, and you and I have talked about it, but I'm not sure that we actually – stop me if I already said this on the show, but I know some people were saying, like, well, do you have an update? You know, you guys were really kind of passionately pleading for us to contribute, and not just those of us who've contributed before, but, like, you were looking for new people to throw anything in the ring just to show that we're out here and we're proud and we listen to TBTL. We're not proud, but we're – slightly less shame. So as a quick update, yeah, it was a really successful drive. The folks at APM are really psyched about it. Emily, who has been our TBTL-a-thon partner or leader in all of this at American Public Media, she's still kind of crunching the numbers. But a lot of people, we are seeing people who have donated for the first time. And from seeing some of the things that people were writing on Facebook, very sweet as well, saying, I've actually listened to the show for years now, and I'm giving for the first time because it really struck me that anything I can contribute does go a long way, and that's absolutely true. So all kidding aside, and I'm sorry if this is boring, I do want to once again thank you all very, very much for making this a successful drive, which it really was, and we appreciate it.
I don't think, you know, Andrew, I don't think this is boring at all. You know, America was built on a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Our forefathers came here, and they declared, we want to do a podcast, but for us to be able to do it, we need every person living here under the tyranny of the British Empire. We need you to band together and A, help us fight the British, and B, donate to our podcast. And I think it's only fitting that we are here, you know, a couple hundred plus years later, doing this most patriotic of things, which is talking about hot dogs and thanking the people for giving us money for keeping the show going.
That's right, especially since King George was saying, no, don't, we're going to tax the podcast. That was my imitation of King George, and that's why we had to overthrow. Hey, let's talk about hot dogs.
Let's do it. So this show is fairly self-explanatory, but it is the radio special that we put out to stations all over the country. You may have heard it already in your town. You may hear it later in the summer. It kind of has some July 4th implications, but also it's just general summery programming. And so we wanted to play it for you here because, honestly, the average public radio listener driving around who just hears us talking on their radio will probably be like, what? But you, the tens of listeners, will be all, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Was that clear? So the other people, the people that aren't in the cool club, they'll be like, what? But you guys will all be like, oh, yeah. So we wanted to make sure that you all – it sounds gross when you say it, Andrew. When I say it, it sounds normal. But when you say – like when I say it, it's all like, oh, yeah. But when you say it, it's all like – gross.
No, it's all like I was doing the Smacks. Was there like a frog? Was there a cereal called Smacks and a frog?
Yeah, but you're thinking of the bear, I think.
No, I'm thinking of a frog.
Bear of Super Golden Crisp.
No, I'm thinking of a frog.
The guy who's cool?
Max, yeah.
Can't get enough Super Golden Crisp. Love that honey crunch. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Talking like this bear.
Oh, yeah.
That's the bear. The frog was not soulful. The bear was soulful.
I think you're wrong. I don't know. I can't speak to the bear, but I can tell you that I just feel when I'm feeling soulful, I more gravitate towards the Smacks frog.
The frog who would go like Huddy Smacks or something like
that. Yeah, because he was like an old like jazz man. Right? I'm so glad we're getting into this.
Dude, you're thinking of the bear. It's not even funny. The bear was like a cool cat. He was like a cool customer.
But so was the frog. Do you think there's only two cool cereal guys?
Yeah.
All right, here's a vintage 80s one. Let's just do
it. It's coming. Dig 'em. And it tastes so sweet.
You'll hop when you eat.
Kellogg's Honey Smacks.
I did them.
You'll hop when you eat.
Dig 'em.
Okay, he's less cool than I thought, but he does have a deep voice.
A honey sweet part of this nutritious breakfast.
Dig 'em.
I guess all he says is
dig 'em.
I guess that's really so. I mean, is that
where your King George impression comes from?
Yes, that was.
Now,
me,
can you play the Super Golden Crisp? Can you please play the Super Golden Crisp guy, which I think is sort of like a Bing Crosby, but like a jazz Bing Crosby in the Jazz Age.
Oh yeah, this guy was
Bing Crosby in the
Jazz
Age.
This guy was real jazzy.
My Super Golden Crisp cereal is the life of this nutritious breakfast. Can't believe there's 8 vitamins hiding in that sweet crispy wheat. Well, well. Frankie the Finn, I'm old pal Sharky. What's up, fellas?
Your time, Sugar Bear. We're cruising for a crunch.
How about a vitamin-packed punch?
Let's get it.
Okay, so all I'm saying is in this scenario, the sharks are King George. And
yes,
we
okay.
are
I'm
the
following.
We are the Honeycrisp Bear. And all we want to do is do a podcast about hot dogs.
And that wraps up our salute to the American hot dog. Thank you for listening, everybody. I don't know why more program directors didn't opt to put this on their station.
Oh, my. Hey, you know what?
The saddest part, Andrew, is this is the result of you doing 30 hours of editing.
It's a holiday.
It was so much worse.
We're not even supposed to be here today.
That's right. So you know what? In the words of King George, you'll listen to this podcast and like it. Things really took a turn at the end. All right.
Weird.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. This is the TBTL. This is Let's Be Frank, the TBTL salute to the American hot dog. Please enjoy it, and we'll be right back here tomorrow with more of your regularly scheduled TBTL program.
My baby works in a hot dog stand, making them hot dogs as fast as you can. Up steps a cat and yells, don't be slow. Give me 2 hot dogs ready to go. Hot dog! She's my baby. Hot dog! Drives me crazy. Hot dog!
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to Let's Be Frank, the TBTL salute to the American hot dog. My name's Luke Burbank. I'll be hosting this. What is TBTL, you ask? Great question. It's a daily podcast from American Public Media called Too Beautiful to Live. But a few times a year, we like to turn it into a radio show as well, and that is precisely what we are doing right here, right now, from my actual backyard in Bellingham, Washington. That's right. We are in the northernmost part of Washington State, and we are in my backyard standing around my actual barbecue with a variety of hot dogs cooking on the grill. We're going to be taste testing them. We're going to be talking to food experts. We're going to make a trip to a Major League Baseball park to find out what people are putting on their hot dogs there. And by we, I mean me and my co-host, Mr. Andrew Walsh, who is tending the grill. What's the latest here with our various hot dog projects?
Well, my first question for you is, how do we get away with this? How do we tell our bosses that we want to do a radio show where we just get to stand in your backyard and cook and, more importantly, eat hot dogs for an hour? How does that happen?
You know, every once in a while in this life you get lucky, Walsh, and this feels like one of those moments. I want to give a rundown to the radio audience about what we have going on the grill here currently. So we've got a wide variety of different hot dog options. We've got some Fearless Uncured Franks. Pick those up at Whole Foods. We've got some Boar's Head pork and beef Frankfurters. You bought those for a special reason, which you'll explain in a little bit. We've also got some Johnsonville Better Cheddar smoked sausage, which when you found out there was going to be
cheese dogs here at the grill. You almost left. I mean, that was almost a deal breaker for you before the show even got started.
Well, I don't eat cheese, and I feel like that's like a trap. That's like a snake in the grass waiting to bite you if you're not careful. If you're a non-cheese eater and you're at a barbecue like this, and there's a big plate of various kinds of hot dogs and sausages, and you bite into one of them and a bunch of cheese squirts in your mouth, that is not something that people like me look forward to. So keep an eye on your cheese dogs here, because I don't want them interfering with my meat dogs.
We need to have signs up like they have at the schools now for kids that may have a nut allergy, just to warn you that there may be cheese in some of these hot dogs. We've
also got
some kind of artisanal, you could say, high-end hot dogs that you bought at a place in Seattle called Rain Shadow Meats in Seattle before you came up
shop.
Here.
Yep.
And then we've also got these 10-inch long sort of, I don't even know what you'd call them. They're hot dogs, and you got them at kind of a wholesale meat company in Bellingham?
Yeah, Klaus Meats. I was looking for just kind of an old-school butcher shop deli. The one that I went to where I got the higher-end hot dogs is a bit more of an artisanal butcher.
Right.
You know, you go in there. Everybody's super nice. I can't say enough nice things about them, even though they did not pay me to say that. But it's a certain kind of slightly trendier, hipper experience there. I was looking for the hot dogs of my youth. I grew up in the Midwest, and so when we bought hot dogs in Ohio, we would go to the grocery store, but the hot dogs would be behind glass. And in case of an emergency, you would break that glass. No.
That's why you were banned from so many delis in your youth.
So many broken.
They had a
cases.
Huge picture of you behind the cash register. Do not let this kid in.
True story. No, my mom would go and we would get the hot dogs, you know, by the pound from the person working at the deli, and they would come all strung together, you know, just like in the cartoons. We'd have to cut them apart.
Right. That would be the, I think, the number one thing cartoon dogs were trying to get their chompers on. In the kind of 50s cartoons, right? It was always like it was like Hot Links, I guess.
By the way, we also had a cat behind our house who played xylophone.
Oh man,
on a fish skeleton. So it was like it was a wild time growing up.
God,
in Ohio.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, and I grew up probably taking hot dogs for granted. It was a common thing to eat in our house. We would boil up hot dogs. It was literally probably the first food I learned how to cook. Now I can hear the audience laughing at me. I mean, is it really cooking a hot dog if you just boil some water and put some hot dogs in the water until they just begin to split? Maybe not, but it was indeed the first food that I began to cook, and we always had them around the house, and that was my experience. Now, hot dogs in my life, probably because I'm in middle age and it's not good to eat hot dogs as much as I used to, and various reasons, I think I appreciate them a little bit more and do with every passing year. The going to the ballpark, I look forward to the hot dogs almost more than the game at this point.
They're now kind of a celebration food for you?
A little bit more along those lines, because if I am just buying hot dogs at the store and bringing them home to eat as a dinner, there is a guilt that goes along with that for me.
Huh.
You know, they're kind of in the junk food category. And I do want to say, by the way, for those of you listening to public radio right now and you're thinking, hot dogs are a garbage food. Like, they are the lowest of the low foods. Why are they putting this on my public radio station? I want to say that we're going to be talking to none other than Francis Lamb, an honest-to-God gourmand, right?
Yes.
Host of The Splendid Table, which also might be on your station. And he is going to defend hot dogs for us.
Well, let me just remind people, if they're just joining us, that this is Let's Be Frank, the TBTL salute to the American hot dog. I'm Luke Burbank. That's Andrew Walsh. The lawnmower in the background is my neighbor, Rich, who decided to mow his lawn at exactly the moment when we were recording our radio special.
Do you think this is why Terry Gross doesn't do her show from her backyard?
Yeah. She used to live near Rich. She had to move all the way to Philadelphia to get some peace and quiet. All right. We are not food experts, Andrew. We're certainly food enthusiasts in that we are together going to consume, I'd say probably over 20 hot dogs by the end of this recording. But we do know a food expert, and that is Francis Lamb. He is the host of one of my favorite radio shows out there. It's called The Splendid Table. It is distributed by our bosses at American Public Media. It may even be on this very station that you're hearing us on right now. And Francis, even though he's eaten all kinds of amazing, fancy food in his life, it turns out he has got a real soft spot for the good old-fashioned hot dog. So we figured maybe we should call him up and see if he can add a little legitimacy to this whole thing. So should we give him a ring?
Yeah, let's get him on the line here.
All right, Francis Lamb. Come in, Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Hey, man, can you hear us?
I can hear you. It's such a pleasure to be with you in your backyard. Pretend to be with you in your backyard. God, this is being recorded. I shouldn't have said that.
No, they know you're in New York City and we're here in Bellingham, Washington.
Great.
Can you hear the sizzle of the various hot dogs that we have assembled here on the grill in my backyard?
If I'm listening really closely, I can hear it. But in my mind, there's always the sizzling sound of hot dogs. So I kind of can't, it's hard for me to parse the two.
Let's talk about that for a little bit. You know, when we decided we're going to do a show about hot dogs, I thought about you and your show immediately. And I thought, well, we should reach out to Francis. But then it occurred to me, well, maybe he would look down his nose a little bit at hot dogs. Not to judge you, but I mean, you're the host of a public radio food show and a lot of people make fun of hot dogs. Yet you replied to my email graciously, of course, and you said, and I quote, "If I could marry a hot dog, I would." It sounds like your passion for hot dogs
and by
runs
the way,
pretty deep.
That will soon be legal. Thanks, Obama.
So what is your background with hot dogs that you're so passionate about them?
Well, now I feel really awkward that you've told people that because I have a human wife.
Is this the first that she's going to be hearing of this? Because
she doesn't know about this. I mean, the thing with hot dogs is that they are it's almost hard to articulate. It's so much in like my reptilian lizard brain as to why they're wonderful. Like if you need it explained to you, if you need like the rush of salt and fat and a little bit of smoke and the fact that it always comes in this really highly agreeable form factor explained to you, can I really explain it to you? I don't know. Like it is such an inherently good thing in the world. Like why would you need someone to explain why a hot dog is good to you? But let me try. It is that rush of salt. It is that aftertaste of beautiful animal fat. It is that little hint of smoke, and sometimes there's like a little garlicky flavor or like some like mild but incomprehensible spicing. But it's just like, you know, people talk about like grilled foods and grilled meats as like being a primal and primitive pleasure, and it is that, except the hot dog is not a simple piece of like, oh, I have hunted this beast down and now I like put it into a flame and now I'm eating it. Like it is a highly developed form. Like only human ingenuity could have taken meat and fat and ground it together and then ground it together again so finely that it emulsifies into one coherent mass and then piped it into like a perfect cylindrical casing and then tied it off and then sold it so you can like grill it in your backyard to celebrate the independence of your nation, of your birthland, of your home. Like, my God, it is the greatest.
Okay. Quick point of order. Just so you know, the hot dogs we're grilling today, actually Luke did hunt them down. We're
yes.
in Bellingham, Washington. Yes. Home of the hot dog a beast.
Yep. I only eat hot dogs that I've killed myself. That's how I honor the hot dog.
Do you think that hot dogs have a bad rap? Because, you know, I grew up eating a lot of hot dogs. And it always bugged me when people would make the very crude jokes about, don't you know what goes into a hot dog? And I'm going to not go into the details of the things that people would say, both to my face and in...
Can we say lip to on this show?
Well, we'll find out. Public radio program directors, how do you guys feel about that?
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Anyway, do you think that hot dogs have a bad rap?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is like this thing of like, hey, do you know what's in it? And look, yes, the fact is lots of hot dogs are made with, you know, the prime muscle cuts and, you know, the parts of the animal that you would serve in a butcher case, but like there's other stuff in them. But here's the deal with the other stuff. It's like, why do we think one part of the animal is inherently worth more and or worthy of consumption more than like any other part of the animal? The animal comes as a whole unit, right? Like it's right. One animal and you killed it. So you got to do something with all of it. And I feel like if we are using the cuts that aren't being used in your butcher case and like, you know, aren't part of the beautiful rib racks and all that stuff, it's also like, look, we create, grow, and consume so much meat in our country and in the world. And, you know, it's like kind of a problem. It's a real problem in terms of the environment, in terms of how many resources go into it. I feel like if you're eating all the other parts that aren't like the pretty parts that are sold in your butcher case, you're at least making sure that stuff isn't going to waste and you're not going to grow more animals to just satisfy your hunger for like rib chops.
What's one of the best hot dogs you've ever had, Francis?
Oh, boy. You know, for like hot dog, like true hot dog innovation, I look to Latin America. In Sonora and Mexico, they'll wrap hot dogs in bacon. They'll take a strip of bacon and wrap it all the way around the hot dog, so the entire hot dog is encased in bacon.
And I'm happy to tell you, Francis, report from the backyard here in Bellingham, we've got two hot dogs wrapped in bacon because of my time living in Los Angeles and coming out of Dodgers games and this lady standing there with some kind of improvised butane stove cooking hot dogs wrapped in bacon, and it was probably the greatest smell I'd ever smelled in my life, and it's the way I do it now.
Yeah, I mean, I love, like, Brazilian hot dogs are incredible. I had a Brazilian friend once. I was at their place, and they're like, hey, I made some hot dogs. I'm like, all right, cool, let's get them with the hot dogs. And, like, they brought out a pot, and I'm like, huh? And they had braised the hot dogs in tomato sauce. They then speared the hot dogs out of the tomato sauce, didn't, like, pour it on or whatever, but it had that nice cling of tomato sauce on the hot dog. And then they proceeded to squirt mayonnaise onto the hot dog in the bun and then grab a fistful of potato sticks, like the little fried potato sticks you get in a can, and then just, like, heap that on. And I'm like, you're a god among men. What did you just do? And she's like, oh, this is how we do them back home. I'm like, oh, my God. And there was a Peruvian little fast food place in my neighborhood when I lived in Queens here in New York City. And their thing was they would mayonnaise the hot dog, and they would also have potato chips, but then they would slice avocados and tuck the sliced avocado in, and then with like a little tomato salsa as well. And it's just – it convinced me, these three experiences of the Sonoran bacon wrapped and the Brazilian tomato sauce and the Peruvian mayonnaise and avocado hot dog, that Latin America is where we need to look for like true hot dog nirvana.
So it sounds, Francis, like you, as the host of a well-respected public radio food show and someone who really knows your way around food, you
maybe less well respected now once they hear about this.
Yeah, we should have warned you. You know, it's not like so much the TBTL bounce as it's the TBTL
the crater.
Yeah. So it sounds like you would agree that the hot dog deserves an hour of public radio time.
I think it deserves an hour of everyone's time.
All right. Well, Francis, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you could be here in the backyard, but we'll put a couple dogs aside for you.
I do, too. If you have eight kinds of hot dog in front of you, you got to say hi to St. Peter for me, because I'm sure he's standing nearby.
Is this heaven? All right, Francis, thanks, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was what it sounds like when someone who actually talks about food for a living talks about food.
Yeah, but I feel legitimized, by the way.
I do, too. Like, he was getting choked up there for a moment. I thought he made a really compelling case. And by the way, made me hungry for, like, four different kinds of hot dogs that we're not even preparing here. Brazilian hot dog?
I know. I've got to try some of those things.
Tomato sauce with shoestring potatoes on. Let's be honest, though. Is there anything that isn't improved by throwing some shoestring potatoes on it?
I'm tempted right now to go grab a bag of potato chips and just crumple them up and put them on some of these hot dogs.
You know what? We're due for a break. I think that would be a great way to spend it. I'm going to go tell Rich to cut it out with the lawnmower. You get us some potato chips, and we're going to be right back. This is Let's Be Frank, TBTL's salute to the American hot dog. If you'd like to hear more of our podcast, you can always check us out over at tbtl.net. That's two beautifultolive.net. Luke Burbank here with Andrew Walsh and my dog, Rudy, splayed out in the grass here as we record this show. Back in a moment with more TBTL.
Hot diggity dog, diggity boom, what you do to me? It's so new to me. What you do to me? Hot diggity dog, diggity boom, what you do to me? When you're holding me tight.
Come on, baby. Once you get a taste, I got a feeling in my heart.
Welcome back to Let's Be Frank, TBTL salute to the American hot dog. I'm Luke Burbank. That's Andrew Walsh over there. We do a daily podcast called TBTL, Too Beautiful to Live, and we occasionally turn it into a radio show, and that's what you're hearing right now. We are in my backyard in Bellingham, Washington. We're standing behind the barbecue, and we have a whole variety of hot dogs here that we are grilling. Andrew, you've grown up in hot dog culture, growing up in the Midwest, in Cleveland. Is there any kind of special technique to cooking hot dogs that you learned?
Well,
do you poke them with a fork?
I don't poke them with
a
fork.
I thought that was a smooth move, but maybe that lets the juices out. I don't know.
I think that lets the juices out. As a matter of fact, growing up, the biggest controversy around hot dogs that I knew of was whether or not you cook them until they split. I mentioned that we used to boil hot dogs growing up. Of course, we would grill them as well. And I was taught that you brown them and cook them until they just begin to split a little bit, and then you know that they're fully cooked inside. But
I mean, isn't a small split the same as some fork pokes?
Well, that's the counter argument, that if you're already splitting the hot dog or poking the hot dog, then you're letting all of the juices out and into the grill. And that first bite you take isn't going to snap and pop because you've already released all of the tension inside the hot dog. I'm not going to take a side here because I can see it both ways.
This is public radio. We're supposed to remain unbiased, essentially.
We're going to explore all sides of that issue. Yeah. And speaking of all sides, it turns out that is not even the most controversial thing when it comes to hot dogs, man.
Yeah, we talked about this on the podcast one time, and like, it was probably the most sort of worked up our listeners, and they can get worked up over things, have gotten. And it was a question of condiments on hot dogs, right?
Yes. The Chicago dog famously has mustard on it and some other things, but never ketchup. And if you talk to somebody in Chicago about putting ketchup on a hot dog, they'll put you on the first bus out of town.
I did a story about ketchup for CBS Sunday Morning, one of my many jobs, and I went to Chicago. I went to Portillo's in Chicago and interviewed people about ketchup on their hot dog. I also went to a place called Wiener Circle, where they kicked me out when I ordered ketchup on my hot dog.
They really did, or was it part of a spoof?
Well, they knew we were filming for CBS, but they were not joking when they said I had to leave.
See, I personally don't appreciate that attitude of telling anybody that they're eating a food incorrectly. I think that you should put anything on your hot dog that you want. Sometimes, if I'm going to eat more than one hot dog in a row and I'm at home and I have whatever condiments I could possibly want, I'll usually do barbecue sauce and sriracha on one of them. Why not? You only live once, especially if you
YOLO.
Eat as many hot dogs as I do. You don't live long either.
I mean, that might be, and I hope you understand this in the spirit it's intended, that might be the saddest YOLO I've ever heard.
Anyway, I know that there are plenty of people in Chicago and elsewhere who are obsessed with the idea that you only put mustard on a hot dog, so I thought maybe we should go to a ballpark and find out what people are really putting on their hot dogs.
I thought that was a great idea, Andrew, and not just because it also meant that we could watch our beloved baseball team, the Seattle Mariners, play after we'd done our reporting on hot dogs.
Again, I ask you, how do we talk our bosses into letting us do this?
Well, this is the last one of these we're going to get to do, so enjoy it. Yeah, so we headed down to Safeco Field, where the Mariners play, to find out more about what people are putting on their hot dogs.
Fresh grilled hot dogs, love to feed you folks. Five types of mustard on the condiment bar.
Here we are, the ballpark.
Yeah, we are actually just down the street from Safeco Field in Seattle. We are on sort of hot dog row here. These are all of the booths that are set up selling hot dogs for slightly less than when you get inside the stadium.
Yeah, what are they going for here? Can you even see? We got a $4 Hebrew National right there. In the stadium, that's going to cost you at least $10.
$6 is the cost down there for a Polish dog. This is kind of like a gauntlet, Andrew, for people that are hungry for a hot dog but also want to watch baseball. And I say that because it's sort of a narrow street. A lot of people take it to get to the front entrance of the stadium. And all the way down, you have people yelling things about hot dogs to you. So if you have a hot dog in the back of your mind as a food option, you're going to have a hard time getting all the way down this road without at some point succumbing to somebody's sales pitch.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've been listening to this guy sing his hot dog song for a little bit now. Let's go over and see if he has any hot dog advice for us.
you very much. We'll see you next time.
Hey, man, what is your name?
My name is Joe Bernstein.
How long have you been selling hot dogs here outside the stadium?
I've been here about 20 years.
What's the most popular thing? Like, what do people come up here looking for? Like, what's your best seller?
In Seattle, cream cheese hot dog. Onions and cream cheese. That's definitely Seattle style.
Do you get a lot of people who are not from around here who are shocked that you would put cream cheese on a hot dog?
Yeah, and then once they try it, you know, once you've had cream cheese, you know, go back.
People are really snobby about hot dogs in, like, Chicago. Like, the idea of putting ketchup on a hot dog turns people off. Do you have any strong feelings?
No. There's no rules. I don't know what their problem is, but there's no rules here. Like, New Yorkers are the same thing. You know, they got, you know, kraut and onions or kraut and mustard, you know. There's no rules here. You can put anything you want on a hot dog.
What is your? How do you have a hot dog when you're all done with your shift and you can make it however you want? You got all kinds of condiments and choices. What do you go with?
I'd be a barbecue sauce guy. Barbecue sauce, grilled onions, yeah.
I'm a barbecue sauce guy. Yeah. I like that. You ever put a little sriracha on there with the barbecue sauce?
Yeah. You know, just actually put for the barbecue sauce. I'd probably maybe put some Tabasco in there. Make it a spicy barbecue sauce.
You have a new item that you've added to the menu over there. It looks like Polish dog and peanut butter and maple syrup.
Maple syrup, yes. Yep, it's crazy good. It's almost like if you put peanut butter in your pancakes, then you'd love this hot dog. That's what it's like.
Well, how did this inspiration come to you, and why didn't you ignore it?
I already had bacon, and then, you know, my kids, when they go to the bars, they have these peanut butter hamburgers, so, you know, I said peanut butter and bacon go good together, and when I looked at it, I said, there's something missing, you know, a squirt of syrup, just enough, and there it is, and so I'm probably selling about 20% of our hot dogs end up being that.
Really? Mm-hmm. People are buying those because they think that they are going to taste good, or do you think it's just like they want to order something as a stunt? Do people seem excited about this as an actual cuisine?
Yeah, they love it. That guy right there has ordered one. He's eating one right now.
And you're getting repeat customers on this.
Ask him how many times he's had it.
Let's go find out, all right?
Thanks, Joe. What's your name?
Nick.
How many of those have you had?
Today, or it's like since you started doing it?
Since you started doing it, and today.
Today just one, but since you started doing it, I think this is number 5. Yeah, it's really good. You wouldn't think that maple syrup and peanut butter and bacon and Polish sausage would go together, but it's fantastic.
Did you, like, walk up to the game on that particular day just thinking, I need to try to eat something that sounds horrible? Or did you see the sign and then just think, I'm going to give this, as my friend Camaro Kev says, a day in court? Like, how did you actually pull the trigger on that the first time?
Joe has been a part of my game day tradition ever since I was 12, 13 years old, and, you know, I've followed him on social media, and he mentioned, hey, I got this new dog, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna try that the next time I show up. And I did, and was like, okay, that's my new game day dog. So
let me just clarify one thing. You're following a hot dog stand on social media.
It's all about Joe. He's just been a part of my tradition for so long, and it's not a day at the ballpark without getting a hot dog from his stand. So
you were just handed a hot dog. Is this the
Joe just came over and just slipped a foil missile into my hand, and inside is the peanut butter, bacon, maple syrup, a Polish dog.
And he cut it in half, which means I think he wants us each to try it.
I think he wanted you to have two halves of a hot dog.
You got to do it. You wanted to be a journalist.
This is not how they said it was going to go. All right, you want to try it?
I will. You want me to go first?
Hold on, I'll do it.
One thing they teach you in journalism school is eat a bunch of peanut butter and then talk on the radio.
That's like how Walter Cronkite used to warm up. Little known fact. I'm going to tell you something right now. Way better than I was expecting it to be. The peanut butter is, I think of peanut butter as being a sweet thing, and it's got a lot of sugar in it, but it actually mixes pretty well. The bacon is a big help. The saltiness of the bacon combined with the creaminess of the peanut butter and then the dog. You know, this is way better than I was expecting it to be. You want to try it?
Yeah, I do. Although, I don't know if the listeners need to hear two people eating on the air.
I'm going
to
take possession of the microphone over here while Andrew tucks in. What is your verdict?
I'm more of a traditionalist, so I don't know that I would order that, because I'd be thinking about the hot dog I left behind, aka mustard and ketchup. But that thing is good.
Yeah.
If you think of it as something other than a hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I find it upsetting that you have, like, longings about hot dogs that you've left behind. It just seems like you've really anthropomorphized the food group.
Have you not been to my website, leavenohotdogbehind.net?
The net nanny on my computer does not allow me to go to that website for a really good reason. Okay, Andrew, I think the game is about to start. I can see people starting to take their seats in the nosebleed section of Safeco Field, and there are so many hot dog questions to be asked in there. Andrew, should we head in?
Let's go in there.
Okay, we have successfully made it into Safeco Field. I couldn't tell you what the score is. I could tell you, though, Andrew, that it's been, I would say, over 45 seconds since we were last eating a hot dog. So it's probably time to try to get another one, right?
Yeah, that's one thing they won't tell you about a peanut butter hot dog is it just doesn't stick to your ribs.
It's not calorically dense enough.
Right.
Let's get in line here. There are a variety of options. What are you going to go for? Like, what's your go-to order here at the stadium?
I'm glad you asked. Actually, I have a whole process here, too. No matter what ballpark I'm at, I have a system. I look at the menu, I look at all the options, and then I order the biggest one.
It has not let you down yet, my friend. All right, we're getting up to the front of the line here. The pressure's on. Don't blow this, Walsh.
So I think what I'm going to be getting here is the Mariner dog, which is, I believe, a quarter-pound hot dog. And it does become kind of, I think, your standard ballpark fare.
I think somebody just found out that TBTL is doing a hot dog special on public radio, Andrew. I was trying to keep it under wraps, but it's clear word is spreading.
You're telling me that had nothing to do with the home run that Nelson Cruz just hit?
Pure coincidence, my friend.
All right. I got my Mariner dog here. We're talking. That looks like a quarter pounder to me.
All right. What are you going to put on that enormous hot dog that you just ordered?
Now, the first thing that we have on tap is like a big container full of, it looks like jalapeno peppers, like pickled peppers.
Like you might put on nachos you got from the gas station.
Right. Now, this is the only thing that I'm going to swerve on because I don't really need peppers on my hot dog.
Okay, then what comes next?
Well, now I have a mustard decision that I have to make because we have the deli mustard and the yellow mustard. I go with the deli mustard. I want a little bite.
Okay, and that's spicier, I guess?
I think it's a little bit spicier, a little bit heartier of a flavor. And then I'm going to put on some sweet relish and ketchup and onions.
Why are you basically putting everything except the jalapenos on this dog? That seems like that might be too much stuff.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but I just paid $8 for a hot dog. The rest of this stuff is free. So I think there is part of my monkey brain that wants to pile as much stuff on this hot dog as possible. But also, it's different what I do with a hot dog at home than what I do with a hot dog here at the park. Because at home, I don't have relish at home. I don't even want relish at home. But it's like something that I only get here at the ballpark, and now it's just kind of a tradition for me. But also at home, I might have two, maybe even three hot dogs per sitting, not to brag. And so I can spread different kinds of condiments across those hot dogs. I can put barbecue sauce and sriracha on one. I can put ketchup and mustard on another. And I've got it all in. At the ballpark, I'm only having one hot dog. So I think there's probably also a compulsion to like kind of put all the flavors on the dog at once. All right, so the line has died down. So I'm going to dress this guy up. I'm going to start with the deli mustard here. You got to be careful, though, because it's going to splurt out all at once. You're going to have like one end of your hot dog is going to be drenched in mustard and the rest is going
to
be dry.
They need to have some uniformity standards on how fast things are coming out, because if you play it wrong, if that first amount of ketchup comes out and it's too much, it could ruin your whole day.
I have some sage advice for you, Luke. You can always add more condiments to a hot dog, but it's very difficult to take condiments off of a hot dog. So play it easy at first and then keep on adding layers.
Yeah. I approach each condiment dispenser that I don't know like a wild stallion. I just have to break it.
Oh, see? It just all splurted out in the middle. Yeah. And now let's get some onions on here. I'm really just turning it into a hot dog salad.
We're holding up the line here. Sir, can I ask you a little bit about what you're doing there to the hot dog? We're doing a radio special about hot dogs. You just did something I've never seen before.
Don't worry about that. I was trying to see what the difference between deli mustard and yellow mustard was, and I don't know the difference, so I used my hand.
So you squirted a little bit of each kind of mustard on your hand, and which one did you like the most?
Well, I think I actually like the deli mustard better, and then I'm going to put some onion on it, I think, too. But I'm not a ketchup fan, which is really weird. So
that's actually less weird than you might think. It's in places like Chicago, very controversial to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Really?
Yeah, so you're reflecting a worldview.
I'm from the Midwest, so maybe that makes sense. I don't know.
How many hot dogs a year do you think you eat?
Probably like 7.
You have about 7 hot dogs a year. Is it mostly at baseball games?
That and gas stations, probably.
What has to be going on a typical day for you to eat a gas station hot dog?
I have this routine where I take my kayak out on the lake and I get a hot dog and a couple beers, and that's what I do. I don't know.
That's like the intersection of really healthy behavior and really unhealthy behavior. Beautiful kayaking in nature with a gas station hot dog?
I think that's the best kind of living, honestly. So that's where I like to live.
I'll have some yellow, 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 yellow mustard. Green, 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 green relish too. Red, 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 red tomato. White, 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 white onions will do.
And here we are back in the backyard. What's the status on these hot dogs, Andrew?
Well, I think we want to throw another batch on because I wasn't paying attention. We've killed a couple of these veggie dogs. They were forgotten in the back of the grill, and they are now charred beyond belief. So we still have some fresh veggie dogs we can throw on there, right?
Yeah, we have ample hot dog supplies here. I mean, I would say together we probably spent, I don't know, $50, $60 on hot dogs.
And we can write that all off, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Fantastic.
So we're going to do that. We're going to reset the grill. And then when we come back, we're going to hear some voicemails from our listeners about hot dogs. And we're even going to learn some hot dog trivia.
I've been doing my homework.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with all of that and so much more. This is Let's Be Frank, TBTL's salute to the American hot dog. TBTL is our daily podcast from American Public Media. If you want to find out more about it, go to TBTL, that's like too beautiful to live, .net. We'll be back in just a moment.
I'll have a hot, 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 hot dog on a pop, 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 poppy seed bun.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
You can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Welcome back to Let's Be Frank, TBTL's salute to the American hot dog. I'm Luke Burbank with Andrew Walsh. We are here in my actual backyard in Bellingham, Washington. TBTL, of course, is a daily podcast from American Public Media, and it's quite a scene back here, Andrew. Rudy, the dog, has picked up an almost life-size Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seahawks. She's got a stuffed Russell Wilson. She grabs it in her jaws and runs and prances around the backyard. I hope that's not foreshadowing for the football season. Coming up in a few minutes, we are going to do a taste test because, of course, we are standing right next to the barbecue in my yard. And we're going to be hearing some voicemail messages from our listeners about hot dogs and their hot dog-related experiences. First, though, some fun facts
Sometimes, Andrew, I feel like you're loath to do research on topics for the show, but you required no encouragement to do a deep dive on hot dogs.
Luke, last night I literally spent minutes researching hot dog trivia, and I'd like to share some with you.
Slaving over a hot laptop.
I would like to ask you one question. Where do hot dogs come from?
Well, when a mommy hot dog and a daddy hot dog love each other very much, Andrew.
The truth is, Luke, nobody knows where hot dogs came from. There are various stories about who invented the first hot dog. And Vienna, Austria, they lay claim to the original hot dog. They say they had a couple of guys who invented the hot dog in their town. Then those two guys, I guess the names I'll give, Emil Reichel and Sam Ladany, then moved to Chicago and started selling their hot dogs at the World's Fair there in 1893. And then later on, those two fellas, they founded a meat production company that still exists called Vienna Beef. Can you picture the logo?
Absolutely.
It's the big blue V on the yellow background with a little hot dog in the middle.
Those were the Vienna Beef guys?
Still running. Yeah.
Can I throw a little fun fact your way that I found out when I was in Chicago reporting on Chicago dogs and the fact that they don't put ketchup on them?
Yes.
The whole Chicago dog tradition, which is like basically it's a salad on a hot dog, right? Back during the Depression, you could buy a hot dog for pretty cheap. And there wasn't apparently in Chicago anyway, for most of like the guys selling hot dogs on the corner, there wasn't a limit on how many condiments and kind of sides you could put on the hot dog. So it was a way when people were pretty broke to really like make a full meal out of this hot dog. And then it just sort of became the tradition to put all of that stuff on your hot dog in Chicago. But that started out as sort of a practical thing. People were just basically trying to steal extra toppings for their hot dogs.
Well, you know, that actually reminds me of a voicemail that we got. Can I play this for
you?
This is a voicemail from a listener named Joel who told us about his experience with hot dogs growing up. And it's kind of related to what you were just talking about.
Hey, dummies. Long-time listener Joel here. I've got a
Can you hit pause for a second? I just want to let the radio listeners know that it's okay for the callers to call us dummies.
Yeah, they're not just a thing we established.
It's a thing, just so you don't think that listener Joel is just like the rudest caller in the history of public radio.
And also, we're dummies.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's accurate. It's very accurate.
Yeah, that's how that came about.
I've got a hot dog story. Back in the 80s, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I was a teenager, actually probably a little bit younger than that. Our little town would have fundraisers for our fire department where they would set up little hot dog carts and you could get a Pepsi and a hot dog for 50 cents. Well, we were poor. My mom was a single mom and we didn't have money to ever go out to eat. So even McDonald's was too expensive. So this was literally the closest I got to eating out, which is kind of sad. But anyway, we'd always get the same thing. We'd get a hot dog with sauerkraut and ketchup on it. And one day, they ran out of hot dogs, so we decided to just get sauerkraut sandwiches, I guess you would call them. I don't know what a hot dog bun with sauerkraut and ketchup is without a hot dog, but we would get those. And I remember them being soggy, and I feel like it's disgusting. Is that disgusting? I feel like it is, but I loved it. That is what I think of when I think of hot dogs.
See, I think that underscores the idea that hot dogs are more of a state of mind. You don't even necessarily need the hot dog to have the hot dog experience.
That was such a beautiful voicemail. That was like an O. Henry story.
I know. By the way, going back to the origins of the hot dog, though, so Frankfurt, Germany, they also lay claim to the original hot dog, but the story there is much murkier. Very few details because they say it was invented in Frankfurt back in 1487.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Was that the Frankfurter
that
we've heard so much about?
And it also brings up the question of, like, what is a sausage versus what is a hot dog? Because sausages were around way back in the day. But eventually somebody went from just taking kind of a ground mixture of meat and spices and putting it in the casing and actually straight up emulsifying it, turning it into a paste and putting it into animal skins. And that's the difference between a hot dog and a sausage.
Really?
Yeah, and that's why if you get a really high-end hot dog, you're almost getting into some sausage territory. Let me put it this way to you, Luke, in a way that even you can understand.
Sure.
All hot dogs are sausages. Not all sausages are hot dogs.
By the way, this is Let's Be Frank, TBTL's salute to the American hot dog. TBTL, it's a daily podcast from American Public Media. I'm Luke Burbank. That's Andrew Walsh right over there. If you'd like to check out our podcast, you can always go to tbtl.net to hear our daily show. This is one of our radio specials, and we are learning all kinds of things about the hot dog. Any other fun hot dog facts you'd like to share with us, Walsh?
Did you know the first words Mickey Mouse ever uttered in a cartoon were hot dogs? Mickey Mouse started off as a silent screen star.
He was like, I remember the famously, there's the cartoon where he's like running a steamboat, right? And it's there's no, like you said, it's a silent cartoon.
It's a silent cartoon. But then in 1929, they come out with The Carnival Kid, and Mickey Mouse comes out, and he says, hot dogs.
By the way, I need to tell the radio listeners, that was not actual archival tape of Mickey Mouse. That was Andrew doing an impression, but it was so spot on that you would have thought maybe that was the original file.
The official longest hot dog in the world, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, set just last year in Paraguay, 669 feet. That's 2.25 football fields. Now, more recently, in October of last year, a town called Flensburg, Germany, they claimed that they made the world's longest hot dog at 715 feet. But for reasons that are unclear to me, Guinness has not put their stamp of approval on that one.
Do you think you've eaten 2.5 football fields of hot dogs in your life, Andrew Walsh?
In my life, certainly. Yeah. I thought you.
Wow, that didn't take you even a second.
Oh, I thought you were going to say today.
No, but real question. Do you think in your life you've eaten 700 feet of hot dogs?
Yes.
Again,
I know
disturbingly
you
quick response.
I know you want me to think about this, but I've eaten a lot of hot dogs. I'm 41 years old.
Wow. 2.5 football fields of hot dogs.
I mean, I don't like to think about it that way.
Yeah, no, nor should
I. But I also
you.
Don't want to lie.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate your honesty.
All right, one last little bit of trivia here that I thought was interesting is hot dogs apparently from the early days of the space program were...
Astronaut food?
Were astronaut food.
I guess that sort of makes sense because they've got a good shelf life.
And apparently they made those dehydrated foods for the astronauts, but the astronauts did not really like those very much. But since you could actually eat hot dogs up there, I'm going to read to you from a little bit of a transcript. You know, we were talking earlier about the controversy over whether or not you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
Right.
And of course, there's another controversy about whether or not a hot dog should be considered a sandwich or not.
Yes. That was a big internet fight. I don't know if you know this, Andrew, but people like to get into arguments on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And
but only about important things.
Right. Like, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Right.
I mean, that almost – that and the what color is this dress just about melted down the information superhighway recently.
Well, I'm going to read to you a little bit of the transcript between Commander Jim Lovell of Apollo 13. He was radioing down to Houston, and he said – this is archival tape, by the way.
Absolutely.
Just a passing comment, Joe. We're having lunch right now, and I just made myself a hot dog sandwich with ketchup. Very tasty, and almost unheard of in the old days.
Wow. They left that out of the movie version of Apollo 13.
I know. It was on the cutting room floor. They're going to make hot dogs out of it later. Joe Kerwin, who was down at CapCon in Houston, said, as I recall the flight plan, you're supposed to put mustard on the hot dogs and not ketchup, but I guess we'll overlook that.
This was a real conversation
this
that was
had.
This
is from a transfer.
From space to Earth.
Apollo 13. And there was a lot of confusion. Some people noted that their voices were very similar. You heard in that archival tape.
Yeah.
But they had technology to figure out who was talking back then.
I mean, I understand that astronauts and people at Mission Control, I mean, they're human beings and they have very stressful jobs. They need to unwind and kind of, you know, they can't be serious all the time. But was that the best use of NASA's money? Like, I feel like...
Yes.
Well, says the guy who's eaten 2.5 football fields of hot dogs. Of course it was a good use of resources. We've got some voicemails from the listeners, right, Andrew?
Yeah, we asked people on the podcast to call in with their own hot dog stories. Let's hear from Rachel, who spent a bunch of time in Norway and wants to tell us how they do the hot dog in Norway.
Okay. Hi, Luke and Andrew. This is Rachel. I was calling with a hot dog story. My husband grew up in Norway, and we lived there last year. And hot dogs are like a really
bizarrely quintessential part of Norwegian culture. You can get them at any gas station, and people actually do. You also eat them at all like fancy occasions, so like birthdays, the 17th of May, which is like their Independence Day. You eat them when you're hiking in the mountains. They're just like a really big part of Norwegian life. And the way they eat them, is you boil them with chopped up raw onion, and then you wrap them in this flat piece of potato bread called a lumpa, and you can put ketchup and, mustard on, but then you also put on these like sort of fried onions that come in like a little bag. And it's really good. I ate more hot dogs during the year that we lived in Norway than I have my whole life. So,
like 2.5 football fields?
Yeah, not to brag, Rachel,
yeah,
but I've put away some hot dogs too.
Wow. See, everything she was describing about that sounded delicious. It also sounded a bit like pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's kind of a tighter wrap.
Yep.
With the breading that they use. What's your...
I love those.
Yeah, are you a pigs in the blanket fan?
Yes, because you're basically making them
out of... That might be, and I've known you for a long time, my friend. That might be the most excited I've ever seen you when I brought up pigs in a blanket.
You want definitive answers from me. I think you know. You got to ask me about hot dogs and my own personal
this
hot dog
is
habits.
I mean, honestly, I've never heard you more sure about anything than the topic of hot dogs.
You go to the store, you buy those little crescent rolls, like Pillsbury crescent rolls. They peel off like triangles. You roll a little half a hot dog up in that. Not to get off the topic of hot dogs, but if you're having a breakfast party, like a football game on a Sunday morning, you can also substitute the hot dog with a sausage link.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so great.
That's one to grow on right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's how they do it in Norway. And, you know, we got this one voicemail. Maybe I'm going to leave you with this. This is from Shannon, and I think this is a story about how hot dogs can bring people together.
Hey, it's listener Shannon. I'm calling for the hot dog show. One time I was in downtown Raleigh, and the homeless man approached me and asked me to buy him a hot dog, and I was like, no problem. There were vendors everywhere, $1 hot dogs, maybe $2. But he wanted one from a really fancy hipster joint, and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to buy the dude a hot dog. I went in there. Hot dogs were $9, but oof. I was already so far, like, I'd walked with him, and we were talking about hot dogs. I bought him a hot dog, and then I bought myself one. And I was actually pretty glad. We both kind of stood outside and ate our overpriced hipster hot dogs. And I was like, well, you get introduced to something new every day, and hot dogs can make lifelong friends. All right, have a good summer, guys. Bye.
How great is that?
That is a beautiful story. I mean, obviously that transcends just hot dogs and gets more into the subject of just being open to experience and not just kind of wearing that pathway that we all wear between, you know, like where you get off the train and where your office is, or, you know, all the little sort of things that we do on a daily basis where it's very easy to just kind of get into your own little groove and not look around at the rest of the world and certainly not see particularly people that are maybe having a harder time, sort of see them, as people and people with hopes and dreams and hunger for hot dogs. Right? Like, that's a really nice story.
Yeah, I love it. She didn't just, like, kind of give him a buck or two and go on her merry way, but, like, it was like, all right, let's do this. Let's get some hot dogs together.
She also ended her voicemail like she was signing our yearbook. She said, have a great summer.
I know.
Stay sweet.
I love it.
K-I-T.
Friends forever.
Hot dog. You say you're really coming back. Hot dog. I'm waiting at the railroad track. Hot dog. You say you're coming home for good. Hot dog. I'm gonna keep on knocking wood, baby. I can hardly wait. I'm gonna meet you at the gate. Hot dog.
Well, Andrew, now that we've spent all this time talking about hot dogs, can we finally do what we came here to do, which is waste the company's money and eat bacon-wrapped hot dogs?
We have a plate of cooked hot dogs here that rivals Mount Washington.
All right, thank you so much, everybody, for spending the hour with us. This has been TBTL's Salute to the American Hot Dog, a.k.a. Let's Be Frank. I'm Luke Burbank. That's Andrew Walsh over there. If you want to hear more of our podcast, which we put out 5 days a week, you can always head over to tbtl.net, as in too beautiful to live, .net, and listen to our show. We got to go because I think Rich is going to start mowing his lawn again.
Well, only I ever been, but when the Santa Fe pulls in, hot dog.